Well, we're going to have our reading at this point, and we are going to try and see whether we can do it still in parts. So those of you who are taking part in the reading, that would be really good. My only problem is this handset mic is flashing at me, which probably means that the battery is running out or run out or whatever. It's still working at the moment, so that's good. So if those who are reading could just come up the front. We're going to have to use the handheld mic because it's a little bit too much for Jake to run the live stream and multiple mics as well. And so we will try and I will try and pass it around. Come on up the front here. At least you can see that there are a few more people here in church this morning. And let me just check. So Kant is the narrator. Robert's Jesus. Who's the first servant? That's Mercy. Second servant and third servant. Is that right? Wonderful. We won't quite go in this order, but I will try and administer the mic as I'm able to. So,
good. This is a reading from Luke 19, verses 11 to 27. While they were listening to this, Jesus went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once, he said,
"A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.'" Verse 15. "He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said,
'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.'
'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy in every small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second one came and said,
'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.'
His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said,
'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.'
His master replied, 'I'll judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I come back, I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.'
'Sir, he already has 10.
Verse 26. He replied, "I tell you that to everyone who has more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen. Thank you very, very much indeed. So at the beginning of each year, I try to bring a New Year message for Rock Christian Center. And hopefully over the years, those messages have been inspiring and sometimes prophetic for us as a church for the forthcoming year. And before Christmas, I was preparing my next message from Luke 19 in my series on the Gospel of Luke, entitled, overall, Jesus is for Everyone. And I had a strong leading that this should actually be my New Year message. And I've entitled it, The King is Coming Back, Trade Until He Comes. The King is Coming Back, Trade Until He Comes. And this is the parable of the 10 miners, or perhaps better described as the 10 servants, which is very similar to the parable of the talents, but with some big differences. So the differences are that all 10 servants were given the same amount of money. They were given one mina each. And a mina is a much smaller amount of money compared to a talent. A talent was quite a large sum of money in the parable of talents. But here, in the parable of the miners, it's just a very small amount of money compared to a talent. The King is Coming is a big focus of Luke 19. Jesus the King is traveling towards Jerusalem, where he's going to make his triumphal entry a little bit later on in this story. Then he is going to go into the temple, his father's house, where he will throw out the traders and the money changers. So the whole emphasis is the King is coming. The King is coming to Jerusalem. And that reminds us that Jesus the King is coming back. Luke tells us that Jesus spoke this parable because the people thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. That's what they were thinking. They had decided that Jesus the Messiah, the kingdom of God, is going to appear immediately. And Jesus uses this parable to tell them that there would be a delay, that he would be going to a far country, his father would appoint him as king, but he would not return straight away. There would be an interim between his departure and his return. And we, in 2025, are living in that interim, aren't we? Jesus' command to us as servants is to accept and obey him as king, but to trade until he returns. And there are four responses in this parable to the fact that Jesus is coming back. We believe as a church that Jesus will return. The Bible teaches that Jesus will return, and there are four responses in this parable to the fact that Jesus is coming back. First of all, be afraid. Be afraid. If you've been opposing Jesus, if you are denying Jesus as King, if you're living in disobedience to God's commands, if you're living selfishly, if you're refusing to worship and honor or serve Jesus, be afraid. Be very afraid is the message of this parable, because Jesus the King is coming back. And he won't be coming back this time as a sweet baby born in Bethlehem. He won't be coming back as the forgiving Savior. The Bible tells us he will be coming back as the judge, as the King. And those servants who have opposed him, those servants who have dishonored him, those servants who have refused to serve him or use the gifts that he has given them will face the full wrath and judgment of God. This is what Jesus is saying in this parable. This is his message. We know the Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we must never think, please don't think that God is some mate that you can be pally with. A God who turns a blind eye to sins and failures. A God who isn't bothered about how you live your life. This parable tells us something very different. It tells us that God is a God to be feared, a God to be revered. He is awesome. He is almighty. We've just been worshiping him as sovereign Lord. The disciples spent every day with Jesus. They knew him really, really well. If anyone could call Jesus mate, they could, his 12 disciples. But they didn't. They didn't call him mates. They were his friends and companions, but when Peter saw the miraculous catch of fish, he said to Jesus, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Not, "Depart from me, mate." You know, we can't be matey with God in that same sort of way. Multiple times in the Bible tells us that those closest to Jesus worshipped him. They worshipped him. Never forget who Jesus is. He's not a mate that we can mess about with. He's not a God that we should jest and joke about. You know, I believe we have something to learn from Muslims. You know, you risk your life if you make a joke or mock Muhammad. Even worse, as we know, if you make a cartoon of Muhammad. But Christians, even sometimes us, we don't bat an eyelid, do we, when Jesus is mocked, when Jesus is ridiculed, when Jesus is used as a swear word, when the Bible is disrespected and its stories are turned into comedy and farce, which is what we see all the time. You know, it should shock and offend us as Christians. We should be outraged because it's being done against the one we worship, the one who is sovereign Lord, the one who was sent from heaven for us. You know, when Jesus returns, he will return in all his sovereign majesty and power. If we're not worshipping and serving him as our sovereign Lord and Savior, we need to be afraid. I'm not saying that Jesus will definitely return in 2025, but Jesus' return is getting nearer, isn't it? It's getting nearer. And his message is, repent of your sin, believe in Jesus, be born again by the Holy Spirit. Reform your life at the beginning of 2025. Make worshipping and serving Jesus your priority in 2025. Be busy trading with the gifts that God has given you until the day Jesus returns. Don't delay repenting and worshipping and serving Jesus until you have more time, or until you're older, or until you've finished your education. You know, Jesus might return before the end of 2025, before you finish your education, before you get married, if you're looking forward to getting married, before you get that promotion that you're after, before you retire. You know, Jesus may return. And if we are unready, if we are unprepared, if we're complacent, then we need to be afraid of Jesus' return. And so in 2025, turn away from sin, turn towards Jesus, and get busy worshipping and serving Jesus so that you no longer have to fear his coming. Because that's the wonderful thing. If you're worshipping and serving Jesus, you do not need to fear his coming. You can look forward to his return. And the second message from this parable is trade until he comes. Jesus says in this parable, we have a job to do. We have a commission to fulfill. And the question of this parable is, what are you going to do in 2025 with the gifts and the time and the talents that God has given you? What am I going to do? What are you going to do with the gifts and times and talent that God has given you? Jesus and the Bible repeatedly tells us that God has given every single one of us gifts. He's given us talents. He's given us abilities. He's given us skills. He's given us time. That's why I was going to say, you're here today, but it's why we're alive today. Because God has given us time. That's the most precious gift from God, that he's given us time. But he gives us time for a purpose. If there was no purpose for your time at this present time, you would be dead. You wouldn't be here anymore because you will have fulfilled whatever purpose it was, or not fulfilled whatever purpose God had for you. So Jesus commands us to use those God-given talents, including our time in his service. And if he returns and finds that you have done nothing with them, if you have buried them or hid them or been too lazy to use them like the servant in the parable, be very afraid, because Jesus is coming back and he will judge you according to what you have done with the gifts that he has given you. His command is trade until I come. It's not an option for enthusiastic Christians. It's a command for every Christian who worships Jesus as Lord and Savior. Trade with what I have given you until I return. Until Jesus returns. R.C. Sproul, who's a Bible commentator, wrote this about this parable. As Christians, it is our duty and privilege to do everything in our power to increase the ministry of the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's our duty and privilege to do everything in our power, everything in our power to increase the ministry of the gospel of the kingdom of God. If you are a true Christian, it is your duty to trade with the gifts God has given you until Jesus returns, or until Jesus comes and your life ends. And you know, I want to say there is no greater privilege and joy than to serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by trading with the gifts and abilities that he's entrusted to us. You know, there's a wonderful joy in serving the Lord. There really is. And you know, there's a wonderful sense of reward in that, of serving the Lord. You know, it's far better than any promotion or applause you may get in your secular employment. Jesus gives a far better reward for faithful service than any reward or salary or increase or pension that you will receive at work. Trade with what gifts Jesus has given you until he returns. And then thirdly, Jesus calls us to be good stewards. In the parable, the mina, the money the king gave his servants, belonged to the king, not to the servants. He gave each of the 10 servants the same amount of money. He gave them, each of them, one mina. And his command and his instruction was very clear. He says, put this money to work until I come back. And he expected his servants to have obeyed his command, to have put his money to work. It was still his money. It wasn't their money. So he gave them, but they had a duty to fulfill. It wasn't their money. It didn't belong to them. And even, if you notice in this parable, even the most profitable servants didn't get to keep what they had gained, because it all belonged to the king, including the increase that they had made. But they were rewarded handsomely for their work, for their efforts, for their success in trading. One was given 10 cities to rule over. Another was given 5 cities to rule over. Our lives, our gifts, our talents, our possessions are not our own. We don't own them. They came from God. They will return to God. We came into this world with nothing, and we will leave this world with nothing. You know, we amass all this stuff, don't we? I've been trying to sort it out at home. My goodness, the trouble is the bigger the house you've got, the more stuff you accumulate in it. And as you get to the sort of age that I'm at, you sort of begin to think, goodness, my children are going to have to sort all this lot out when I die, and so I better get sorting it out now. And you know, we think that it belongs to us, but in actual fact, everything we have comes from God. Everything we have comes from God. all our possessions are not really our possessions, they're given to us by God. And you know, you can't take them with you when you die. And so we see this in this story, that those rewards are wonderful, but the money itself actually belonged to God. But they were rewarded handsomely for their work and their efforts. And God simply calls us to be good stewards of the resources that he has given us. And the question for each one of us, whether we're here or watching at home, the question is, will you be a good steward? Will you be a good servant for Jesus the King in 2025, in this new year? Do you understand that everything you have is a gift from God? Will you obey Jesus' command to trade with what he has given you until he returns? You may feel that Jesus hasn't given you as many gifts as other Christians. Can I say, don't compare yourself to others. Trade with whatever gifts God has given you. You know, Jesus will never ask you to trade with gifts he hasn't given you. He will never ask you to trade with someone else's gift. And sometimes we see people up the front maybe and we think, oh, I'd love to be able to be like them and to be able to speak like them or lead worship like them or evangelize like them or whatever. Don't try to be like someone else. Thank God for the gifts that God has given you and use them in this service. I thank God for the people of this church who God has gifted in ways that I'm not gifted. Simple ways sometimes, and who make the big difference in this church. You know, this service would not be possible. You know, I could be as gifted a preacher as anyone on earth, but if Jake had not come all the way from North Aston today to do the live stream, I'd be talking to no one apart from the few who have managed to make it here this morning. And Ruth round there, just a young person, putting the words up, and Ramsey on the camera there, and Gary and Kanthi on the door just to welcome and make sure that we're all okay in here, and everyone else who's contributed. And, you know, we see how as a team we can then actually do something which glorifies the Lord, enables this service to be able to be watched by people at home. And so we praise God for all the different gifts that come together to enable us to function as a church, but also to shine for Jesus in this community. And that's God's commission for this church, is that we should be like a lighthouse, shining out into this community. And praise God that when we come to our annual submission to the Charity Commission, which we have to give legally, and you have to put down how many volunteers. And I put down we have about 120 volunteers running all the different ministries here in this church. No one person could do it, however gifted they were. Not even 20 or 30 people could do it. It needs everyone actually contributing. And if people are not using their gifts, then we really miss that out. So will you be prepared to be a good steward of the gifts and the time that God has given you in 2025? Will you worship and serve Jesus wholeheartedly in this coming year? Because if we will, then God can take and use this church, will take and use you to shine for Jesus in our community. So, you know, the wonderful thing is Jesus has the ability to multiply your efforts and my efforts. He blesses us for our obedience. If you're faithful in a small thing, he will give you something bigger. Praise God. That's the Bible principle. Be faithful in small things and he will give the increase. He will give the opportunity for bigger opportunities. And we will be richly rewarded. You know, the promise of the Bible is we will rule and reign with him in glory. Amen? Amen. You know, there's no excuse for laziness. There's no excuse for being a passenger in church. Jesus is looking for kingdom workers who are eager to serve the Lord and their master. You know, if you're in a paid job and paid employment, if you're lazy, if you're unproductive, if you always turn up late and leave early, if you're not working hard, your line manager will be calling you to account in the paid employment. You'll be put under disciplinary measures. You may get fired. You may be sacked from your job. Why do we think so often as Christians that we can be lazy about serving God? That we can be careless or selfish or unreliable or uncommitted or unproductive? And we can think that God won't mind. You know, he won't notice. But you know, God deserves our best, not the dregs of our lives. And Jesus says his judgment will be far worse than being fired from any secular employment. His judgment is far worse. Jesus' message through this parable is, wake up, be ready, I'm coming soon. Be like the wise bridesmaids, ready and waiting for the bridegroom with the lamps filled with fresh oil, so that we can burn brightly for him. And then finally, be fruitful servants. Like the first two servants in the parable, by obedience, by hard work, by trading, these two servants had multiplied the gift given to them. One, the first servant, by 10 times. The other by 5 times. That's multiplication. They had been good stewards. They had been faithful servants. They had been fruitful in serving their master. And you know, Jesus expects each of us to be fruitful for him in 2025. Producing kingdom fruit, the fruit of the gifts that God has given us. Jesus expects multiplication from the gifts that he has given us. Multiplication is actually a Jesus kingdom mandate. It's not just a mathematical formula. It's something that Jesus teaches. He speaks, doesn't he, about the seed producing 30, 60, or 100 fold. There's utterly no point. I used to be in farming. There's no point in putting a farmer putting seeds in the ground if all he expects is one more seed to grow up and to harvest. The whole principle of harvest is you put one seed in the ground and you produce a harvest of 30, 60, 100 seeds from that one seed. And that is a Bible principle. And he rewards his servants for multiplying money in the parable of the talents and in this parable of the miners. And when he sends out the 12 and then the 72, he expects multiple fruit from their ministry. James Kennedy said this, "Whatever you do in the service of Christ, do it with all your might and strength so that you might multiply your ministry. Love the Lord your God with all, not just a part, all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor with yourself." So it's doing with all our might, all our strength. You know, Jesus never called his disciples to be managers. Never called them to be managers of his kingdom, but multipliers of his kingdom. We're not to be managers, we're to be multipliers. His great commission was what? To go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And then he says, "And surely I will be with you to the very end of the age." So many Christians like the last bit, Jesus will be with you until the very end of the age. They're not so keen on actually obeying the first bit, to go and multiply, to make disciples of all nations. So be fruitful servants. Paul tells us what the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life should be. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the question is will you, will I be multiplying the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life in 2025? Will you be multiplying love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in your life in 2025? Just imagine how different your family will be. How different your marriage will be. How different your relationship with your children would be. Imagine how different the relationships at work would be. Imagine actually how different even church would be if all of us were multiplying love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control in 2025. You know, Rock Christian Center, I love coming to Rock Christian Center because it is a church where there is a real love between us. But you know, if we multiply it even more, you won't want to go away. You know, if this place is known as a place that's just full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy. No, sometimes we look out when I'm preaching, I think we could do with a bit more joy. You know, if you were here on New Year's Eve, we certainly had a time full of joy. It was wonderful. It was great. We were dancing away and it was fantastic. Love, joy, peace, patience. If we're more patient with one another, if there's greater kindness, if there's greater goodness, if there's greater faithfulness, if there's greater gentleness, if there's greater self-control, I tell you what, the people out there on Spittle Hill will begin to take notice even more because they will see the love and the joy and the peace that's flowing out from our lives and from the life of this church into this community and into this neighborhood. So, your job as a Christian, whether you're at home watching or whether you're here today, is to serve Jesus and his kingdom in everything you do in 2025. And if you do, you will hear those beautiful words at the end of your life or when Jesus returns, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and inherit the wonder of my kingdom." Does that sound like good? Yeah. Few of you think it's good. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, in a couple of months, I will be an old age pensioner. Tricia was a child bride. She likes to think. But in a few months' time, I will be an old age pensioner, and people are asking me, when am I going to retire? Well, I want to say to you, there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. If you're still alive, God has got a work for you to do. Even if you're disabled and not able to get out and you're shut in at home, God's still got a work for you to do. You can pray. I thank God for the people who at home who may not be able to actively be involved in things, but I know that they're praying and supporting. It was wonderful to talk. I expect she's watching it today. Doreen, I had a lovely phone call with Doreen Shaw today, earlier this week. And we pray together. I pray for her over the phone, and she's always such an encouragement. I know that Doreen prays for me and prays for us as a church and is there encouraging us on, even though she's not able to get out on a Sunday anymore, even though she can't come to church. She's still serving the Lord. The Lord's keeping her alive, and she's still using that talent. You know, in a few years' time, I might retire from being senior pastor at Rock Christian Center, and you can put out the flags and say hallelujah. But, you know, I still won't be retiring from serving Jesus. I say, look at Peter and Pam Morris. They're over in the States at the moment, but Peter retired as pastor of Father's House years ago. But they're not putting their feet up, are they? They're not living selfishly. They're still serving God in their late 70s, still leading the Lighthouse ministry, getting up early every Thursday to go and serve the Lord among some of the most needy and challenging people in Sheffield. They don't have to do that. They're not paid to do the Lighthouse or any other ministry. No one is forcing them. but they will receive a rich reward in glory, won't they? And, you know, I want to be like that. I'd rather burn out for Jesus than rust away as a useless and unproductive Christian. Amen? Jesus has given you everything you have. He's given us, given you his, your abilities, your possessions, your money, your talents and time. Don't bury what Jesus has given you. Don't hide away what God has blessed you with. Will you be busy for Jesus and his kingdom in 2025? Will you be busy worshiping and serving Jesus and his kingdom? God calls you to be a fruitful servant for Jesus in 2025. So in summary, the King is coming. Trade until he comes in 2025. Be afraid if you're not worshiping and serving Jesus wholeheartedly. Trade until he comes. Use his gifts, the gifts that he has given you. Make the most of every opportunity. Seize the day. Be good stewards of what he has given you. Be fruitful in your Christian lives and see multiplication through your use of the gifts that he has given you. Multiply the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life in 2025. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we commit to you this coming year. Lord, we thank you for the message of your word. Lord, we thank you for the reminders of this parable. Lord, the reminder that Jesus the King is coming back. Lord, the challenge for us to keep trading until he comes or until our life ends. That, Lord, we would be busy about your kingdom. Lord, that we would have great joy and fulfillment in worshiping and serving you. That, Lord, we may shine as a church and as individual people as lights in a dark world. That we may stand boldly for Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would be filled with your Spirit and empowered by your Spirit to shine for Jesus Christ in whatever situations that we face in this unknown year. So, Lord, help us to respond to you, to bow the knee before you, to lay our lives before you, that, Lord, you may use us in your service. And, Lord, that we may hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. So, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.